What has led to so much sadness and loss near Mount Fuji in Japan? Could old Japanese folklore and rituals be at play, or something far more sinister? Today, we test the believability of the haunted suicide forest.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. I hope everybody's having a great week. It is a new Tuesday, and I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I hope that people are doing well.
What if I'm not? Just like, I hate everybody.
That's grumpy.
Yeah, right?
Stop listening right now. I want to shout out, I believe a while ago, our old bassist in the band that we talk about from time to time suggested this story, and a lot to cover. And I'm going to be very upfront with this, that normally we take a very light approach with most of our topics, and there'll probably be moments of lightness in here. It can't all be doom and gloom. But if you think about the subject matter of suicide forest, I mean, there's only so much we can do.
Yeah, right? I can. Ha ha. You got stabbed by yourself.
Yeah. So, we're not going to do that. So, let's just dive right in. So, the actual name of Suicide Forest is Okihara.
That's good.
Yeah, I've been saying, just like Kushtaka.
That was good, dude.
La Paxualita.
Good for you.
Okihara. Also known as the Sea of Trees, and morbidly, and as this episode is titled, Suicide Forest, which is a forest located in the northwest base of Mount Fuji in Japan. So while there's some great views of Mount Fuji and hiking opportunities, which we will talk a little bit about later, Suicide Forest is, surprise, surprise, known for the vast amount of suicides that take place. Tourists are strongly urged to stay on the trails and paths because the people that venture off, it's not uncommon to find bodies, bones, nooses, clothes, and more.
Can I be honest really quick?
Yeah.
This is one of the places I want to visit. If I ever go to Japan.
I would go with you. I would stay on the trail, but I would go with you.
Oh, yeah, I'd stay on the trail, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I will hug the trail. It's like when you're walking really high, and you know how, like, you hug, like a log bridge.
Yes.
I would be like that on the ground in the trail.
Like, on your hands and knees.
Like. I know. Like, don't leave me.
Yeah.
But as sad and as scary as that is, it goes further beyond that. Many people actually claim the Suicide Forest is haunted. People claim to hear voices and see shadows while traversing through the thick trees. Are you ready to dive in?
Oh, I am so hyped. Yeah, let's go.
All right. So before we do, just let me reiterate one more time that suicide is an incredibly serious matter. And it is our job here at Believing the Bizarre to report paranormal stories and to promote, you know, thought-provoking discussions and ultimately entertainment. Like our main job is to entertain you and, you know, especially during this time of, you know, the world. But there's absolutely trigger warnings in this episode. If anybody feels like they don't want to hear about suicide or suicidal tendencies, by all means, please don't listen. We won't be offended if
you don't
listen.
Absolutely not.
And seriously, if anybody out there is feeling these thoughts or having these urges, please reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 800-273-8255. So with that, let's dive in. So, a little bit about the forest before we get into the creepy creeps. So, like I said, Okihara, also known as the Sea of Trees, is a forest on the northwestern side of Mount Fuji. It's big. It's big, big. It's 30 to 35 square kilometers, about 12 square miles. That's what they say. I don't know measurements. I could sound like an idiot saying that. I do not know measurements. So, take it for what it is.
I don't know kilometers. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea if that's true or not. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Out of everything we say in this episode, that might be the most unbelievable. But what's very interesting about this forest is the ground of the forest is hardened lava laid down from the last major eruption of Mount Fuji, which happened in 864 CE, Common Era. Now, this time.
864.
Yeah, 860. What do you 864? What do you think they said back then?
I don't think they said that, but that's fine.
What do you think the images were like in their calendar? Like, not dinosaurs.
It's probably
like
cats.
Yeah, probably cats. So this lava-hardened ground is a big part of the sparse wildlife and the particular plants that are there due to this lava. However, the animals that do call Okiahara home include bats, mice, Asian black bears, deer, fox, boar, and wild rabbits. Not those tame rabbits that chill in really...
the most sinister of rabbits.
Really, really small cages. Tricks are for kids. He's going to find you. Or she, you know. The trees of Okiahara are incredibly large with winding trunks and winding roots. And because of it being an unnatural ground, it's a very rocky and uneven terrain. The cool thing, if we ever do go there, which I would actually be kind of hyped to see this, there's a lot of caves. There's a lot of, I think I saw up to 200, which seems a little, wow. Seems a little extravagant, a little extreme. But they say there's up to 200 or so caves closer to Mount Fuji. Like you have to kind of go through the forest to get there. One that's very popular is the Ice Cave, which is frozen all year round, which we're acquainted with right now because of the temperature here in Ohio.
It is very cold.
And the Wind Cave. Overall.
Is there wind?
I don't know because there's no wind in the forest. Oh. It's seriously packed so thick that wind cannot penetrate. Okay, so you're in this dense, dense forest with all these trees, and it's so thick that no wind can come through. And then with the volcanic flooring, it absorbs sound.
Oh my God.
So hikers get this very eerie sense of solitude. People can say that they hear their breathing, and each step is just incredibly loud and overwhelming because of the silence around them.
Listen, I know I hear my breathing.
Yeah, I know you edit that shit out. Another fact about Suicide Forest is due to the density, many hikers have adopted using this plastic tape technique to mark their path so they don't get lost. So they'll like wrap the plastic ribbon around trees so they can find their way out. So now the namesake, like that's the little history lesson. That's a little trail, you know, like, oh, I'm going there for tourist attractions. Okay. Now we get to the namesake and we're going to talk about why Okiahara is called Suicide Forest. So there are sites and articles that I read that attribute the suicide and the deaths a lot to the general Japanese culture and work ethic, and I don't really feel like I can speak on that, so I'm not going to. I'm saying I found that. I know that, you know, I don't want to speak on it. It's not my place to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick to the facts.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah. So first, a quick quiz, which I bet you weren't expecting.
I was not.
It's not a fun one. Suicide Forest is second only to one place in terms of suicide numbers. What place is number one?
Hawaii. I don't know.
No, it's in the United States, though.
New York, for the sheer amount of people?
Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh.
A lot of people jump off.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not good, but I get
it. There always seems to be a boat. No, it's the collision with the water.
Oh, okay.
It's not funny. The most common form of suicide in Okiahara is either hanging or overdose on medication. In 2002, police reported finding 78 bodies, and in 2003, that number jumped up to 105. In 2010, it was reported that more than 200 people had committed suicide there, although it's incredibly hard to produce an accurate report because there's so many bodies that don't get found in the lush forest. Or they're found in terrifying fashion by unsuspecting hikers that didn't stick to the trail.
You gotta stay on the path, guys.
Gotta stay on the path. Some estimate that there have been between 500 suicides in the forest since 1950s. Since the 1950s.
Dang.
It's gotten so bad that local officials have actually stopped publicizing the numbers in an attempt to kind of decrease the association between Okiahara and suicide.
Oh, can I ask a question really quick?
Yeah.
What city is Okiahara by?
It's west of Tokyo. It's right by Mount Fuji.
Okay.
I don't know the exact city, but it is close in relation to Tokyo. If you wanted to travel there, from what I've seen, is you would fly into Tokyo and then you would like drive out or take a train out or a bus out to the forest.
Okay. I was just curious if it was like in the south or the middle or.
There are also now countless signs in the forest and at the forest entry urging suicidal visitors to seek help and to not take their own lives. They say, think carefully about your children and your family, and your life is a precious gift from your parents.
You're just going up the trail, just walking, just like, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. It's a little guilt trippy, kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I mean, obviously good intentions, but it's kind of like a, you know, your life might not be good, but think about your parents.
There's every tree plastered with suicide hotline numbers.
Oh, man. Which we'll get to, doesn't really matter because you can't really use your phone.
Right.
And also, it's gotten to the point that every single year, police and volunteers do annual body searches. Man, I hope they get paid.
Oh, they have to get paid like triple time.
You know that I saw a post that In-N-Out Burger is starting out $17.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you should work at In-N-Out Burger.
do with that what you will. I do want to reiterate, there are hikers, there are tourists that come for the caves, the unique scenery, Mount Fuji, camping. Like, it's not all doom and gloom. Like, that is what it's known for. Interesting enough, it is a national forest in Japan, so you can, I don't know if they follow the same rules as the U.S. Like, in the U.S., you can just camp anywhere you want in a national forest, as long as there's no forest fires. But with the people that camp in Okihara, sometimes prevention patrol people will come by and gently speak with the campers and try and decide if they're really just there to camp or if they're contemplating their fate. And if they get the feeling that they are, they will encourage them to leave.
Basically. So it's the only forest, national forest, that has hired therapists instead of actual park rangers.
Yeah, that's when you're getting your psychology degree, that's probably not where you imagine ending up.
No, but they pay pretty good.
Maybe. I don't know if they're In-N-Out Burger prices. Also, there's no better place to put this than here. And I'm not familiar. I didn't see the video. I don't even watch this guy. But apparently back in 2017, YouTuber Logan Paul posted a video of and joking about a body hanging. And he put out an apology. I don't know anything about him, so I can't.
I do. He's a piece of shit. He's from here. Well, not here. He's from Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah. He still sucks.
I can't speak on it. He sucks. That was, like, it's crazy how much he's kind of overtaken the articles about this place. So that's a shame. I'm glad he apologized. Probably doesn't actually feel bad, but it is what it is. So this was something we alluded to. Haywire Electronics. Part of the reason why hikers choose to use plastic tape to trace their steps is because compasses, GPS systems, and cell phone service tend to go haywire inside suicide forest, just like my old apartment. But unlike my old apartment, it's speculated that this is largely due to the magnetic iron in the hardened lava of Okihara's ground. So while the thickness of the forest likely has to do with something, I imagine, with the cell reception, maybe there's not a tower on Mount Fuji. The compass theory has been disputed, saying that if you put your compass on the ground, then the magnetic pull will be enough to affect it. But if you're just holding the compass at normal height, it should work fine. But it's still a risk you're willing to take, and that's why you should bring plastic tape with you, or stick to the trails.
I have never heard of a place more designed by nature to make you feel alone.
What about the Bermuda Triangle?
I mean, I guess if you're isolated on water, you're probably with a bunch of sailors and stuff.
So land Okihara and water the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
Okay.
Creepy.
That's you know, maybe you could make a dissertation about that. Okay. So there's the facts. Let's get into some of the folklore and the beyond creepiness. Because it is, you know what? Let me say this, though. Even if we ended the episode here, it would be very short. It'd be very, very short. But it's still very creepy and sad.
Yeah.
And join me for a second. And lower the lights, and Charlie, give me a little bit of music in the back. I just want to put you in the scene, because before we get to the paranormal stuff, I just want you to kind of think about what we've said so far. So you're entering the forest, and it's massive, with a huge mountain looming in the background. And it's beautiful, but as you enter, the world leaves you behind. The reality of what you've heard and read about becomes clear as you pass sign after sign, urging you to consider your family and your loved ones. The air cools and the sun disappears behind the twisted, curving trees. Sound completely escapes your surrounding. Each step, breath, and crunch of a twig or leaf sounds uncomfortably loud, and isolation takes over. You see a row of old, worn-out shoes by the trunk of a tree. A hanging, mangled rope is tied to a branch in the distance, still as a statue without any wind. You pull your phone out, and you have no connection. Each minute, the forest is getting darker and darker, and your surroundings are becoming more unfamiliar. At this point, you realize you don't remember how many times you turned left or right, and there's no one around you. Complete isolation. I mean, that's pretty creepy on its own, right?
Yeah.
So let's move into some folklore. Have you ever heard of Ubisoot? And I could be saying very wrong. I don't think I'm saying it wrong. I think I'm using an American inflection.
Can you say it again?
Ubisoot?
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 No, I haven't heard it.
Okay. Ubisoot is a brutal form of euthanasia that apparently, and I didn't fact check this, just like the square mileage, it translates to abandoning the old woman.
Oh, I have heard of this.
Yeah. We'll paint the picture for you, and it's not pleasant. So back in the old days, when a family was out on luck and didn't have the means to provide for everyone, they would make a difficult decision for the longevity of the family. What they would do in desperation is choose an elderly family member that had lived a long life and would essentially sacrifice them, relieving the family of their burden. But in a very slow and weirdly passive way, the family would lead the elderly relative to a rough and remote environment and basically just leave them to their own devices. So often exposure, starvation, or dehydration would take them.
So, okay. This reminds me of that one time you were with me and my dad.
That one time? Did we do this? No. Did I forget? Wait, where's Brian?
No, my dad was cooking for us and my grandma was there. And my grandma made like a dish or something.
Wait, this is in my memory.
Yeah, it is.
I was there?
I'll get there.
Okay.
And my dad had been watching a lot of Chopped.
Oh.
And he tried this dish. And he looks at my grandma and goes, "You chopped, ma."
That was Ethan. That wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
Same thing, though. I've heard the story secondhand.
Either way, it feels like at that moment, my dad would have put her. Like,
we got no food here. I got a lot of mouths to feed.
She's got to go.
Ma, you've been chopped. Yes. Get on my back. There's actually a really, really peaceful story. I'll just say now. It's like this guy's carrying his grandmother to this forest and she's like ripping twigs and stuff and he sets her down and he's like, "I'm really sorry, I love you, but you know, we have to do this." And she's like, "I completely understand. I was breaking twigs the whole way so that you can find your way back."
Oh,
and he cried really nice. And he actually took her back and then they all starved to death. And then they all died. Oh, no, I think it was a happy ending. I don't know. But anyway, according to the history and folklore of Ubisoot, Okiahara was one of the most popular places that families would lead their relatives to die. So, could this have started this negative energy and draw to Suicide Forest? Sort of like the first domino, so to speak. But, what if these betrayed and sacrificed individuals didn't just wither and die? What if they became angry and vengeful spirits? Enter the Yurei. Have you heard of Yurei?
Probably once you start talking about it.
Oh yeah, probably once you say it, I'll know it. So some believe that ghosts, also known in Japan as the Yurei, are those abandoned by the Ubisoot ritual and have become vengeful spirits that are unable to leave our world. These spirits are coupled with the suicidal spirits that are lost and lingering in the forest. And this works in accordance with the popular Japanese belief that if a person dies with a deep sense of anger, sadness, or hatred, or a desire for revenge, their soul is unable to leave the world and is trapped wandering this plane. So basically, people who have been sacrificed in this way or have committed suicide have been robbed of a peaceful afterlife. Basically, the entities that haunt Suicide Forest. So, what are the Yurei traditionally described as looking like? Think of like Samara or The Grudge, basically.
I was going to say they grudge out on you.
They grudge out on you. They're often depicted in white clothing, like a white burial kimono. They have black, disheveled hair with hands that dangle lifelessly from the wrists, which are held outstretched with the elbows tucked in near the body. And they don't have feet. They don't have legs. Everything is hidden under the kimono. So basically, they float around. And what happens if you cross paths with the Yurei deep in the sea of trees? Folklore claims that the Yurei are dedicated to tormenting visitors and luring people far into the woods to their doom. The Yurei will whisper and follow people that enter the forest to drive them mad and convince them to commit suicide. Despite the eerie silence, many people have actually claimed to hear blood-curdling and unnatural screams in the distance. So think about it, because it's already, like, sound-absorbing. Like, everything you hear is loud, and you don't hear much in the distance. So to hear a scream...
I couldn't even imagine.
I know, like, I really can't imagine. It's one thing here in my attic, us recording, you know, like, talking about what it would be like, but to actually be there...
Mm-mm. So I feel like it would be like if I encountered a policeman while doing something illegal here, I would probably just lay down and go, like, go fetal. Like, I couldn't do anything else. I wouldn't run.
You'd go fetal?
Yeah.
Well, it depends what you did wrong. Did you kill somebody or did you, like,
I don't know.
Jaywalk?
I'm not a runner. I'm not a runner.
But one particular hiker, a writer for the Japan Times, described an incident where he heard a terrifying scream in the forest. And when he went searching for the source of the scream, he actually came across the dead body of a man slouched up against the base of a tree. And I don't know what this means, but he did a quick examination, and it was clear that the body had been dead for quite a while. So he could not have been the source of the scream. So they asked, could it have been the spirit of that person or a yurei instead? Also, and I'll leave you with this, apparently, well, you remember how I was talking about how the hikers would use plastic tape to mark their places?
Yeah.
Some people claim that the yurei will walk around and actually destroy the tape so that people are stranded out.
Those bitches.
Now, it could be people, humans, doing it, or them wild rabbits. But people do report that on their way back, they do find their tape destroyed, which
is, man.
Whether it's human or not, is kind of a terrifying thing to happen.
Yeah. Have you ever heard like a cougar scream?
Yeah. It's creepy.
Yeah. You didn't mention cougars when you were talking about the animals.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's an animal that makes that similar.
There might be one cougar out there.
Just one.
He just likes Mount Fuji, man.
Yeah. He's from North Carolina, but
yeah,
he decided to retire out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He wants that Mount Fuji water to the Fiji.
Boo.
I think I researched cougar screams. I didn't talk about it. But when we were talking about William's story and the screams that he heard, and we were talking about the different animals that make different cries and how one sounds like a baby, back when we did real research. Oh, the first six episodes. Apparently Destination Truth, which I think is on the History Channel, or the Travel Channel.
That's Travel.
Travel Channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. They investigated Suicide Forest, and maybe we'll post it, maybe we won't. We probably will. They claimed you found a figure in white on video.
Really?
And I saw it and it was not convincing to me.
All right.
And I want to believe it.
All right. So I'll look at it.
I wanted to see it there and I couldn't. So before we jump to the discussion, I found a journal entry. Now, is the source of the journal entry reliable? No.
Okay.
Do I believe that it is 100% true? Absolutely not. But is it one of the very few long form personal experiences I found about being in here? Yes. So whether it's just entertainment purposes or this could be a real thing, it is what it is.
Okay.
So let's all just suspend our disbelief for a moment and see what this journal entry said. But before I read it, once again, major trigger warning. If you do not like, I mean, you're already this far in, but it goes further than what we've talked about. If suicidal thoughts, discussions are not healthy for where you're at right now, or it triggers painful memories or anything like that, please do not keep listening. We have a lot of great upbeat episodes. May I recommend the Hopkinville Goblins or the Abduction of Antonio Villas-Boas?
Yes.
Those are light and funny. So if that would trigger you, or if that would make you feel uncomfortable, suicidal discussion or firsthand thoughts, I recommend listening to one of those instead. So there's the warning. And with that, let's get into the journal entry. Okiyahara, or the Sea of Trees, is a forest in Japan that rests at the base of Mount Fuji. It's a Japanese national park that brings in thousands of tourists each year. It's also known as the Suicide Forest because people have been ending their lives there for hundreds of years. Not everyone who comes here is a tourist, though. Many of those who come to this place seek a permanent solution to their temporary problems, including myself. It's a cursed place that serves to draw in the miserable and the damned in droves. The local Japanese say that ghosts, or yurei, prowl the forest, hoping to lead those who go there off the path and to their demise. My life has just been too overwhelming. To cope with the death of my parents, I was working 80-hour weeks. This was partially to avoid the fact that my wife was sleeping with another guy in our bed. The long hours served as the only way to remedy the crushing debt that buried me and prevented me from escaping my desperate home life. There really was no way out for me. I had no friends, nowhere to go. One morning I woke up after a night of sleeping in my cold garage and decided that I had enough. I was going to do the world a favor and off myself. However, I was afraid. I've always been a coward. After extensive research of the easiest way to die was inconclusive, I decided that the only thing I can control was the venue in which I died. I'd always wanted to visit Japan, and deep down inside, I hoped that the long journey would give me time to change my mind. Unfortunately, my mind remained unchanged, and within the week, I found myself on a jet heading to Tokyo. My mind raced at this point. I still don't know how I would do it. Not having the means to get sleeping pills, knowing that guns are unheard of in Japan, and being too much of a coward to use a knife, I decided on hanging. I figured it would be the most economical way to die. Maybe not the most pleasant, but who cares? Someone as pathetic as me, I didn't deserve a good death. Once I arrived in the country, the first order of business was to buy a sturdy bit of rope while I was still in the city. Now all I had to do was locate a solid tree. That wouldn't be hard, considering the venue I'd chosen for my demise. Next, I had to find transportation to the forest. This was by far the hardest part, considering that I know no Japanese whatsoever, and many of the locals, who spoke a sliver of English, refused to take me once they realized I had no camping gear. Unable to find transportation, I had to alter my plans. After nearly a day of searching, I secured transportation on an old, rickety bus to a hotel, which is located right off the trailhead that leads to Okihara. I spent the bus ride planning exactly how I would spend the last few hours of my life that I still had, and ultimately, I decided that I would make it fast. I would follow the trail for approximately a mile, and then leave the trail for another mile. This left me a little time to change my mind, and meant that they would most likely never find my corpse. After being dropped off, I saw how vast this forest truly was. It was around noon, local time, but the shadows cast by the forest seemed to block out all light around it. There was also an engulfing feeling of emptiness creeping from the depths of the woods. But as I made my way into the forest, I saw dozens of signs that all had variations of the same message. Think about your family, or get help. Death isn't the answer. I got chills shortly after walking in. It's as if the temperature dropped by 20 degrees when you enter Okihara. Some say this is because of the trapped spirits who left the path and can't find their way out, but I attributed it to the thick canopy cover of the trees. More of the signs I mentioned earlier lined the trail. They bore messages that said never to leave the trail. Locals here know that only people who leave the trail are those that wish to die. As a result, tourists stick to the well-mapped paths. I continued to follow the trail. As I pressed on deeper into the woods, sadness overwhelmed me. It was as if I was standing in a black hole where no light could reach me. I knew that it was time to leave the trail. To my surprise, immediately upon leaving the trail, I heard soft, melodic whispers. I turned back and took one last look at the trail for just a moment before pressing on. The soothing voices beckoned me deeper into the forest. Continuing through the sea of trees, the feeling of sadness and emptiness dissipated. I was no longer chilly. Instead, the cool breeze felt great. The leaves crunched under my boots. I could hear the sounds of water flowing in a small creek, and the sweet whispers continued to draw me in. As the orange sunset below the trees, I found the forest to be peaceful. Forgetting about all my problems at home, I knew that I wanted to stay here for an eternity, shrouded and protected by the forest. After what felt like an hour of wandering and taking in the breathtaking sights, I found a tall tree in a small clearing. It was dusk by this point, and I knew that this meant that the sun had set on me. It was time. I took a seat at the base of the tree and began tying the rope that I'd bought in Tokyo. Next, I found a large rock that I could roll over to the tree. After doing this, I threw my noose over a low branch near the rock and secured it. Stepping onto the rock and placing my head through the noose like a necklace was the surest thing I had ever done. It erased all doubts and every mortal fear of death that I had. I knew that I was safe here. And finally, I stepped down. There was no peaceful ending like I anticipated. Instead, the world went dark, and the forest turned cold once again. Hundreds of once sweet voices began screaming simultaneously, wailing in despair. They told me I was a failure, that I deserved my fate, and how I would never find my way out of this place. They tricked me. I fought with all of my strength against the rope tied around my neck. As I thrashed and twisted violently, I saw a pale, thin woman with black hair and a white kimono stalking towards me. My vision faded in and out, and I knew I was dying. Each time this happened, she got closer and closer until finally she placed her icy hands around my neck and let out a haunting wail. I pulled at the noose and desperately tried to alleviate the pressure on my neck, but it was no use. The ghostly woman grabbed me and was pulling me downwards, creating even more force on my throat. Everything went dark until suddenly I found myself in excruciating pain on the cold forest floor. I looked up and saw the rope had snapped. The woman in white was no longer there, but I was alone in the forest. It was frigid and dark. I made my way to my feet and scrambled to find the trail. I searched and searched for hours to no avail. Afraid and alone in the forest, I gave up hope again. At one point, I saw one of the telltale yellow signs and sprinted towards it, only to run full force into a hanged man as he dangled limply from the tree. The force of the impact caused the corpse to plummet from the tree and crash into the ground. As this happened, I made my way to my feet to run in the opposite direction, but found myself pulled to the ground by a cold, dead hand. Mouth agape, the decaying man clawed my legs and tried to climb up my body. In response to this, I delivered a swift, forceful kick to his face that allowed me to climb to my feet and begin running. I kept running for hours. The entire time, I heard him screaming and running right behind me. I came to Okiyahara to die, but now I wasn't going to allow that to happen. I knew that I would make it away from this horrific place. Finally, after hours of running, the footsteps behind me died, and I saw a light. There appeared to be a woman holding a candle, walking through the forest. I desperately wanted to run to her, but I knew that she had to be one of the array I encountered earlier. Instead, I made my way towards the only thing I could still see from where I was at, the mountain. I continued to move through the black forest at breakneck speed, hoping that I could just make it to the mountain and work my way around its edges until I found civilization, but that never happened. Currently, I'm somewhere in a system of caves. My legs are badly broken after a fall, and I fear that I will not be able to crawl to safety because I'm so depleted. I've been in this forest for what feels like days. I'm not even sure if I'm alive anymore. What if I'm one of them? They're here. I can hear hundreds of whispering voices. They're in here with me. I keep drifting in and out of consciousness, and each time I fall asleep, I feel the Yurei's pale, icy hands pulling me into damnation. I'm throwing this diary into a small stream that's running next to me in hopes that someone finds it. If someone finds this diary, please recover my body. I don't want to be like them, doomed to wander this forsaken place forever. Would you like to discuss?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, I've been speaking for entirely too long. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
So,
on the whole thing, not that yeah. Diary. We can say, I mean, it's probably not.
I don't think that's real.
Now, that doesn't mean that people couldn't have had a similar experience.
Yeah.
Just probably not that one.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking, the force is real.
Yes.
Where you're asking me to test if I think it's believable?
The believability in this story, it's called the haunting of Suicide Forest. So the suicide is real, the forest is real, the volcanic ground is real, Mount Fuji, probably real. I've never been there.
Yeah.
No, this is the haunting. Like, okay. Is this forest actually haunted?
There's a lot of negative energy in this forest, right? So, like, there have been people dying there for hundreds, I wouldn't say even maybe over 1,000 years. Yeah, it's been a long time.
A long time?
It's been a long time since feudal era Japan. And I think all that negative energy is gotta focus somewhere.
Yeah, if you believe that, like, when you say a place is haunted because there's been a lot of negative energy there, I mean, this place has so much negative energy.
Yeah. Like, you could argue that it's outside and that kind of lets it dissipate.
Yeah.
But I would say the trees kind of encapsulate it. It's almost like a giant building.
Yeah, a thick, lush building. Also, it's like, well, I mean, if you think, it doesn't even have a real ground. Like, the ground is hardened lava. Like, who knows what could be, not like physically trapped in there, but it almost like when you think of lava, like it's kind of encasing, like this old lava is encasing this forest, not knowing what the real ground or what really underneath it could be.
Mm-hmm. It's
symbolism.
the whole forest is symbolism.
Now it's kind of like, okay, so there's the Yurei, and there's just the idea that it could be haunted as well. Like, are there malevolent spirits that are purposefully tricking people, like in a conscious effort to lure them away and kill them, or for them to die on their own to become one of them? Or could it just be a place that has so much negative history that there could be spirits in there because of so many people's deaths, not necessarily making a conscious effort to lure and kill people? You know what I mean? Like, there's kind of two sides to this.
Yeah, like, are they just kind of like they're reenacting their own kind of demise?
Yeah, or just trapped. Because, like, I don't know a ton to speak on this, but they do believe in Japan that, you know, if somebody dies in that fashion, then they can't leave. Like, their soul, they don't get that closure, yeah. I guess you could say. Not saying that I believe that or that, you know, it's true, but they believe that. At least some of them, I assume, do. So, it does have both of those sides, where it could be these malevolent, did I say it again?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. New word. I can't say malevolent, but I can say the name of the forest, okay. But I guess I didn't walk around saying malevolent all day to myself. It depends on whether or not you want to consider it's intentional or not. But I mean, yeah. If there was a building that had 500 deaths,
oh, yeah.
Doesn't feel ridiculous to say, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. Like,
in a building you would find, unless they're in the walls, like those movies where it's like a place is haunted and then they start ripping it apart and they find a skeleton in the wall. Stir of Echoes. Kevin Bacon? That's neither here nor there. There's bodies that likely have not been found. I mean, there's bones. And people,
that's almost guaranteed.
They find shoes. They find clothes. You know, they do find journals, even if they're not reading them like this. I don't think... could you imagine writing that entry out?
No.
Also, he couldn't speak Japanese, but he was able to read the signs. I've seen pictures of the signs. I don't think they translate it to English. I mean, maybe now they do, and maybe there's certain sections that are. But, I mean, there's inconsistencies, but it was... I wanted to end on that, so selfishly, yeah. For entertainment purposes. Also, I hope everybody is okay after...
Yeah, it's an intense story, especially after what I did to it.
I've never read a story that was like that in that fashion, where it's first person and you're kind of going through the suicidal thoughts. I mean, it was a trip for me the first time I read it, so that's when it was like, okay, we have to speak on that.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I was like, when he was hanging, I was like, if you die, how are you going to write this story?
I was thinking the same thing, too. And so when it snapped, I was like, oh, okay. That's a little Hollywood cinematic there. There's a YouTube video. I don't remember who it's by, but it's like an hour long. And it's these four or five people going through the forest. And it's just crazy because they don't see it in real time. But there's people in the comments who are like, if you pause it at like whatever minute, I think you can see a body slumped up against a tree. You know what I mean? Because it's on video. You can take the time to dissect it if you choose to do so. But I mean, a building or something like that, like where somebody dies, they find the body, maybe they, you know, find peace where you can bury them or cremate them. But there are bodies strewn across this forest. Like, if you believe that if a lot of people die somewhere that is likely to be haunted, I don't see how you could argue that there's no chance that this forest is haunted. So no matter what I rate it, there's no way I can go unbelievable.
Absolutely. Like,
I mean, yeah. There is, but I won't. Let me put it that way.
Like going back to if we ever went there, like we'd have to hit this trail at like 8 o'clock, be out by 10 sharp.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Bobby Mackey's is like 4 hours away. And so that's about as far away as we are from Okiyahara, right?
If only.
I do want to go to Bobby Mackey's though. And let me say this, because this is following it directly. That might have been our first wrong. Like, it might have almost been a hot take.
I think so, yeah.
Not that, and
now I'm not that talking about it, yeah.
I'm not pulling back because people had a strong reaction. It's just the more I thought about it and I listened back to the episode, and like, most of it was Carl's story. Listening to what Carl, I mean, I still am, I feel bad talking about a previous episode on a current episode, but I listening back to that episode, I feel like, I'll use your word, I don't think I gave enough credence to his experience, but I think the only way to fix it is us going there.
I agree. It's not that far from here.
I think 3 hours and like 45 minutes. So the way I drive, like 5 hours.
We could do it.
I think we should. So where are you at with Okihara, Sea of Trees, Suicide Forest?
Even with that story that we just read that we pretty sure is not real, I still give it a believable. I think there's got to be something there.
I'm going viable, and I agree. I mean, it's just, I'm more of an energy type person. I don't speak about this much on here. It's not my place to. I mean, it is my place to. We can talk about whatever we want.
That's true.
When it comes to things like this, I mostly give, energy is like the biggest thing to me, because I'm not big on the spiritual side of the world or the other worlds, but I give a lot of thought towards energy and existing energy and things like that. And I just can't imagine 500 people or more dying in a place and it not. Even, I mean, what could that attract? Like, if you believe there are things out there that feed on negative energy, what better place to lurk?
It just feels like a giant portal at this point.
It's also like, and I don't know how to say this well. It's almost like the easiest prey too for those beings, because it's like, these are people entering with a thought in their mind. And it's actually really tragic to think about. If, let's say this is real for 1 second, let's say this is 100% true and there are things, Yure, that lurk out there, feed on this and trick people. There's probably a lot of people going through hardship that would not have committed suicide if not for these things that lured them, tricked them, or convinced them to do so. Not saying it's true, but if you take the stance that it is true, I would believe that to be true, which is, I think, tragic.
Yeah, I agree. It's easy pickings, man.
Yeah. So you go believable, I'm going viable, and that's that. So that is our episode on Okihara, Sea of Trees, Suicide Forest. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope even if you strongly believe that the diary entry journal, blah, 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 was fake, I hope you still enjoyed it. And I hope offended isn't the right word. I don't want to say I hope it didn't offend anybody, because that's not the right word. And I'd also don't, like, I feel like triggered has such a negative connotation now. It's like those Karen memes, like, oh, no, it's a Karen or snowflake. I don't know the right way to say this, though. I hope nobody was negatively affected by this episode.
That's a very good way to put that. I agree. I hope that as well, because there's a lot of imagery and topics that would bring that up. And that's the last thing we want.
Yeah. I mean, we are escapism. Like, we make a point not to talk about very... I mean, come on. Charlie and I live in the real world. We know what things are happening and what things... I mean, all of 2020...
we were there, too.
No matter what side you're on politically. I mean, there's a lot of things happening. And we... We pride ourselves on trying to produce escapism and entertainment. And every now and then, like 9/11, this is the same thing I told Charlie before the episode. Like it's good to talk about 9/11. It's good to do an episode on it, but you have to do it with tact. And we always go, when there's a heavy subject matter like this, we try to use as much tact as possible, because we never want anybody to feel uncomfortable listening to an episode. At the bottom line, it is entertainment. And this is a big topic on many paranormal mediums. But we also want to present it in a way where you can leave the episode and not feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. So if you think we've done that and you want to tell us, please feel free to leave a review. 5 stars review, that'd be great.
Also, if you want to pick up any merch or anything like that, hit up our website, www.believingthebizarre.com. As you can hear, this is why I'm no longer a vocalist, people. Like, I've been talking for like 40 minutes and my voice is already raspy and...
I sound like a
Yurei.
Yeah, you do.
With my little arms all... Dude, the whole time I'm reading that part, Charlie's like flailing his arms around. I'm like, I'm trying to be serious, man.
From the wrist.
Trying to be serious. So anyway, seriously, thank you so much for listening. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.